Welcome to Real Talk Wrestling. I'm your host, Josh. With me on the phone during the day, Chris Coffler. What is up?
What's going on, man?
I don't know.
We
don't do shows when the sun's up. This is kind of weird.
Yeah, I know, right? This is the first. Real Talk Wrestling first.
Yes, yes. See, the hockey schedule's got us all messed up. NFL draft schedule has us all messed up. But we are here. Finally. This last week was the first week I think we missed where we didn't put out a show. We could have, but gosh, between me and you, our schedules just couldn't get it lined up. So, but there was it was a really quiet
week. Slow week.
Yeah, it was a slow week. So we didn't miss anything. So anything that happened last week that is notable, we will bring up on this show. We are going to be talking to AEW exclusively. So if you want to hear about that new brand new second place belt, go somewhere else. We talk about real belts over here and then the other secondary ones that don't matter on their show. Follow us on Twitter, Josh Kimball OUS, at RTW Chris on Twitter as well. Whew. I don't even know where to start on today's show. I don't even know. We can go Punk. We can go brand split. We can go anywhere. Or we can just go storylines. It depends on what I'm going to leave it to you, Chris. Where do you want to start?
Let's just start right at the top of the list.
All right.
With Punk backstage. There was a lot of rumblings about that over the past week.
So yeah, Phil Brooks was spotted backstage and on video talking to numerous sports entertainers in the WWE world. I knew this would happen because doesn't he do work for UFC or someone? He does like commentary for fighting, right? Or he did
something like that.
He did a couple times. And so happens to be he was actually doing something and his plane was actually scheduled with a bunch of other wrestlers in WWE heading to Chicago. He was heading back home. So that's how the whole thing started. He was
on a plane. That part I didn't hear.
Yeah, he was on a plane heading home. He was doing something for UFC or for some kind of, not UFC, but some kind of MMA. And then on the flight home, he ran into some wrestlers. And I think Triple H was on that flight. And then he started talking to Triple H. Nobody knows what they were talking about. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
But then he went backstage, and then once Vince heard he was backstage, he got kicked out. He got the boot. Because a lot of people were like, well, Aleister Black was there, and Andrade was there, and, you know, during the Hall of Fame. So why is Punk getting
kicked
out?
Yeah, but they have a reason to be there.
That's true.
Don't they have significant others that are in the E, so they're there to support them? That should be allowed.
You know, that should be allowed, but I don't know. I don't know what Punk was thinking. everything this guy does is the wrong move or a move to cause controversy. Like you think he's so everyone's like, oh, the Bucks are this, the Elite are that. They're not the ones over there in backstage of WWE. They're not the ones out there putting Instagram messages and then deleting them. They're not the ones calling people stooges. This guy's a problem.
Yep. I don't know. When I heard about it, I just didn't know if it was a way to like drum up more interest internally about himself over in AEW. Like, oh, hey, you know, if you guys are still on the fence about me, I'm over here talking to these guys now. So if you want to get rid of me, maybe I'll come back over here. You know, that kind of a deal. Like, that's what my initial thought when I heard that he's backstage over at Raw in Chicago is maybe just trying to indirectly drum up some interest about himself.
The rumors are that he's going to get his Collision show, that Collision Saturday show, starting June 17th in Chicago is the first date, and that's his return date. That's, you know, rumored. And that was announced, not announced, but that was in the news. And then mm-hmm. he goes off and does this. If I'm Tony Khan, I know the networks want him back. I know for a fact that Warner Discovery wants him back on television. That's why he's coming back to television. If I'm Tony Khan, I'm putting him on Saturday night and I'm putting him in just not meaningless, but storylines, but nowhere near the top of the card. Nowhere near. He has to be there. I understand that. But the disrespect. Every single time this guy gets a chance, or hey, he's coming back, or hey, he's in talks with Jericho, he does something stupid.
Yep.
And at what point do the Jim Cornettes of the world, or you professional wrestling fans of the world, stop? Just can open your eyes and see that he's the problem.
Yeah. So if he does get his show on Saturday night, probably neither one of us are going to watch it live. Are you going to record it and watch it?
Yeah, I'm going to record it and watch it because it is an AEW television show, and there will be other. It's not just the Punk show. That's going to be a 2-hour television show, I think. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how what the time frame is.
So I'm wondering, is this going to be like another Dynamite, or is it going to be another Rampage?
We don't know until, I guess, it debuts. We don't know. No. How are they going to? Saturday night, 6 o'clock. That's a hard time for people to watch TV. Maybe people will go because it is a Saturday night, and why not go to a wrestling match on Saturday night? But to stay home and watch, that's going to be hard for people. I don't want to watch wrestling on Saturday night.
Yeah, it's just not so much of a weekend thing. I feel like it's more of a weeknight thing. Weekend, you're off, you're doing stuff, you're out, you know, or maybe you're watching a movie or something. I don't know. Something about weekend wrestling. I don't know that it will be a big hit, but we'll see. We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong.
That's why they're putting Phil on that show, to get viewers, because he is the draw. I mean, let's just be real. They were getting 1 million viewers with Phil. They're not getting that now. They're getting 800,000, 850,000. So nothing special. But I say this. Warner is giving them extra television time, and they're still not producing like 1 million a week, but they're getting a strong 850 every single time, and that's okay for a startup company. 4 years in.
Yep.
4 years. And everyone wants to talk about, and I don't know the numbers, and I don't know anything about the numbers because I don't care. I care about professional wrestling and the content they put out. In the past 4 years, do you think Raw and SmackDown's ratings went up or down?
Probably down.
Probably down, because it's been the worst 4 years in a long time with Vince, especially with all the whole scandal and everything. So why are we... We're always going to compare. Oh, the WWE does 1.8, and then these guys do 9. But why aren't we looking at their numbers dropping?
I think it's because back in the day, that was always a big thing between WWE and WCW. It was the ratings war, who could draw a bigger crowd. But those were a little bit more on par, given the length of time that they've been in existence and where wrestling was at. At that time, it was a lot more popular back then. So I think people are just, it's like a nostalgia thing. Like, they really want the ratings wars again. You know, like, we really want to see which company is better. We want that competition where wrestling was at its peak. And that was one of the driving things from it. So I think maybe that's why some people revisit that. But I feel like if you look at AEW's ratings, like you said, their startup company 4 years compared to however many years WWE is. But also, just look at AEW. What are they drawing for a Wednesday night compared to anything else that's on cable television Wednesday night? Aren't they usually close to the top, if not the top? So if you're looking at, you know, there's 50 different channels to choose from and they're a top five program, that's still pretty dang good.
Yeah, and not only that, they're competing with NBA playoffs and NHL playoffs on their networks. You know, yes. TBS covers and TNT covers NBA playoffs and NHL. So this is taking up, not saying it's taking up space because they haven't been preempted yet, but they are like competing against that. On a Wednesday night, we're sitting here watching the Lightning game and AEW at the same time. We have to. I believe, you know, it's just the way it's going to be for until the playoffs are over. And it's the same thing with Monday Night Football and Raw. Same thing. When Monday Night Football comes on, we see the ratings drop dramatically. It's just a thing. The ratings are pretty good for being in this round of the playoffs, I believe. You know, there's so many games going on. You could turn it on any channel. You can see Boston versus Atlanta and NBA, or you can see Tampa Bay and Toronto. Like, they're on all the time. So good for them for keeping the ratings up. Phil's definitely going to help that on Saturday night if they do have that show. Now, if they do have that show, there's been talk of a small, soft brand split, which... I'm not going to give you my opinion until I hear yours, because I think you know where I'm coming from. So, is this a good idea?
I don't know. I'm a bit torn on it personally, because I feel like if it's done right, because we always talk about there's a ton of people that are not getting enough airtime, like they're nowhere to be seen. So if it's done right, it could be beneficial. But on top of that, it seems like the reason between the soft brand split is to keep certain people away from certain other people. And like, I don't know if that's your driving force. How well is this going to work? What are the stipulations? Are people ever going to trade shows? Like, if obviously this revolves around Punk. So like, what if they want to move them to Dynamite? Do they have to move the Elite over to Collision now? Is that going to stir up a whole bunch of problems right there? Like, they want to be on the flagship show Dynamite, and now they have to move over to Collision to stay away from Punk. And I don't know. I could see where it could be beneficial, but given the driving reason behind it, I could see where it could cause a lot of issues down the road.
I didn't want to look at it at that point of view, because at that point of view, I'm like, come on, man, we're really going to put on a totally different show and split the brands because of one person? Because one mm-hmm. person can't work with other people, or other people don't want to work with him. But then I'm like, this might be a good thing, like you said, exposure to other wrestlers. And I have a creative way on how to split the brands.
Okay.
I have a creative way, and it's simple. Now, I don't want two world championships. That's stupid.
No.
That's incredibly stupid. I think that the main champion should float between shows.
I'll let you finish. Go ahead.
Yep. And same thing for the women's champion. Float between shows. Now, the TNT title should be designated to one show, and the international title should be designated to one show. And the Trios championship should be designated to one show, and the tag team champions should be designated to one show. TBS title designated to one show. Okay? That's all the titles. I don't think the TBS title should be floating, because it's insignificant at this point. And I do think that having a trios and a tag team on one show are very confusing. House of Black won those titles. Where they been?
Nowhere.
Why?
Nowhere to be seen.
Why?
Not enough screen time.
The Bucks lose their titles and they're in a major feud right now. Yep. Right? It makes no sense. The people that won their titles are nowhere to be found, whereas the Bucks who lost their titles and Kenny are in the biggest story of the company right now. It's the biggest story, in my opinion. It's bigger than the title. So,
absolutely. So how for does sure,
that,
right now.
So how does that make sense? How do we fix this? We split the brands, and we put those titles somewhere where they can be highlighted and spotlighted weekly instead of once a month or once every other month. Simple. Yeah. It's very simple. I don't know if you like that idea or not. It'd be hard.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good idea. It works. It makes sense. I think that would be a good idea to get more people on the show, which is something they've been needing desperately.
And another thing about this brand split and another television show that nobody's talking about, Tony Khan now adds another show, another storyline, another script to his plate. He already does Dark. He already does Evolution or Elevation or whatever it's
called. That one's going away.
Okay, good. He's already doing ROH. He's already doing Dynamite. Why are his stories so bad lately? Why are they not progressing? Why do they not make sense? Why does he forget about some? Because he's too busy. He needs to get some help. Because there's
hire
no way.
Triple H.
I think Triple H is doing... Look, Vince is there for like 4 years. I think he has a contract. Once he's done, Triple H is getting that thing. So I think Triple H is just waiting his time. I, at this point, he's just waiting it out. So good for him. But hire somebody. Somebody. Yeah. To help out, because I don't know about you, but Dynamite has becoming a non-factor in my week. I'm watching it still because I do the show and I still enjoy it. But it's... Like when Adam Cole and Jericho came out, which we will talk about, I walked away. I had zero, not that I walked away because like I have zero interest. I just had other stuff to do. I had to go fold laundry. I had to go take care of stuff. Sorry. Let's get into it. That story to me, I don't care.
It's not quite as must see TV appointment television as it has been in the past. It's consistently inconsistent, because we'll talk about how it's not as good and then all of a sudden it will get real good again, and then some of the storylines just fade, and then we're just kind of like, okay, what are we doing? Why is Jeff Jarrett beating was it? Dax. Guy from, yeah, Dax from FTR. Like, what are we doing there, you know?
For the tag, they got to set up that tag team title. That's the next match. I mean, we saw Jeff Jarrett kiss the title after he won, so that's where it's leading towards. It's leading to our tag team championship match.
Yeah, but I just don't like the first match, and they're, even if it's a singles, and you're losing it.
I know. I know. I didn't think it was a good move either. I think it was a terrible move. I think putting Jeff Jarrett, they are the new Lance Archer. New tag team champions. Who's the first people we're gonna beat? Oh, Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. Okay. That's yep. So predictable. It's happened.
They're the tag Lance Archer. That's true.
It's happened every single time. The past three in a row, they were the first losers.
Yep.
It's becoming a point where everything's the same. They're running out of stories. We're seeing this with Wardlow again. Same stories. We're seeing it with Arn Anderson. He's doing the same shit he was doing with Cody. Oh, yeah. You got to be tough. I'm going to get my Glock out and shoot him. Like, what was he saying? He was saying nonsense. It's the same.
I could not follow that little promo there. It was not making a lot of sense.
It wasn't. And it's a bad move. This is a bad move. We're not even on that. Let's talk about Cole and Jericho. They tried to do the angle of Orton and Triple H or any other where they beat up the girl and while Cole's tied to the ring, the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. That's a cool angle. I get it. Here's why the angle didn't work. I don't know how you felt about it. I'm just going to tell you how I felt about it first. If you don't watch All Access, if you're not plugged in, if you don't know, you would never know they're a couple. You would never know. So right then and there, you're alienating half of your audience because you think half your audience really watches All Access or watches Being the Elite or listens to all these podcasts. No, they probably don't. You watch. You don't even watch half that stuff, and you watched AEW Weekly.
Yep.
So that angle right there is like, wait, why is she beating up? Why are they beating up Britt Baker? Why? Like,
why does he care so much?
I assume some people were asking those questions.
Yeah, the casual fan isn't going to know that they're together.
And then you add to the fact that you just have the Outcast come out and form some alliance with Jericho. For what reason?
Yeah.
You have a woman in your... You have Anna Jay. You have Ty Conti or Ty Mello. You couldn't use one of them, but no, you had to use the Outcast, which is going to set up a tag team match pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah, because the Outcast is feuding with Britt Baker and her crew.
Which makes Jamie Hayter and her title irrelevant once again.
Yeah.
Where is her feud? Who is she going to wrestle? Where's her story?
She's going to be in a tag or trios match with no title defense.
Where is her story? This is insane. Yeah. This is complete nonsense. She's finally a champion, and I don't even know if she's champion or not. I don't know who her feud is. I know she's feuding with the Outcast, but is it Tony Storm?
No, it's all of them. It's a group thing.
Yeah, I know. So,
there's nothing for the belt. It doesn't look like there'll be anything for the belt on this pay per view.
No, it's gonna. I think it's gonna be Jericho and Saraya versus Britt Baker and Adam Cole. That's what I think it's gonna be. I don't think it's gonna be a trios. I don't think you're gonna add another girl. I don't think it's no. They can't be. I think they're doing this because they know Saraya sucks, and they have to protect her. And they have to put her in a match, but she can't go. She's terrible. That was a bad signing.
I know you've been all against it since before day one.
And it's been coming true, like I said. She just can't go. When you're out of that ring for too long and you're not training or into it and you're just playing Twitch or video games, you don't know how to, you lose your spark. And she lost it. She's not over. Nobody cares about her. She's zero. She's a zero. When she comes out, do you feel anything of importance?
You're saying she's lost it. Do you think she can get it back in time? Like, she's just got to work off the ring rust? Do you think, like, that's it? Like, her time came and went, and it's never going to... Because she's still young. It's not like she's, like, in her 40s here.
She can still do it, but does she want to?
I would think so. Why else would she be back then if she doesn't want to...
Money?
Go through it. Her time got cut short. She seemed to have a desire to want to do it.
Money? She's getting paid a lot. To wrestle, not a lot. So, I don't know. I just don't think... I think this was another bad signing by Tony Khan. very, very bad. Cool on paper, got some eyes on you, but did those eyes stick around?
Yeah, that's what he needed, is to get eyes on the product.
But the eyes didn't stick around at all. At all. It's the same. No bump in the ratings whatsoever. She's not a Mercedes. She never will be. I mean, I'm serious.
Are you still standing by the fact that if Mercedes shows up, they're over a million easily, week in and week out?
Do you see the numbers they're doing for Stardom and for New Japan? Do you see those numbers? You probably don't. They're doing very well because of her. Because she is a star.
But also, I wonder, was that viewed as a, hey, we got to see her now. This is a special attraction. All eyes on this versus... Because isn't she done over there? Like, that was it? It was just a little small few months, 3-4 month thing, and that's it?
Yeah, she lost the title already. She lost it. So, but there's rumors saying that she's going to re-sign there, which sucks. Which is going to be okay, because if I can see her at New Forbidden Door versus Jamie Hayter or somebody, that'd be awesome. That'd be cool. And maybe that can get her into AEW, like a Takeshka, like these other guys that come over.
Mm-hmm.
But... either way, this whole Adam Cole, Jericho thing, mixing in the women, mixing in all this stuff, it's too much. Maybe they don't go that way. Maybe they just go Adam Cole and Roddy Strong and Kyle O'Reilly comes back and they do a three-way, trios match.
Yeah.
I don't know. Poor Bobby Fish sitting over there in TNA Impact.
In the Impact Zone.
Poor Bobby Fish, man.
I see he was getting ragged on real bad Wednesday night, all through Thursday.
Yeah, he definitely
just, the IWC ragging on him, making jokes about him, you know, leaving.
Do you blame him?
I don't know. I don't really know. I don't remember all the details of his. I don't even remember what all happened with him. I was just disappointed that we never got the Undisputed versus the Elite.
Yeah, never say never. Never say never. We're going to move on to the main event of the pay-per-view coming up, the Four Pillars match. That is now Sammy versus MJF. That's what it is now, but it's not going to stay that way. It's going to be a tag team match next week. If the babyfaces win, it becomes a fatal four-way match. We know the babyfaces will win.
Yep.
We know Sammy Guevara will, if he's smart, not help or screw MJF. If he was smart, he would just win and do one-on-one and screw him then. But I do think Sammy's going to play a part in this. I think he's the reason why it's going to be a fatal four-way match. I think he maybe walks out on MJF, something of that nature. But I don't see MJF getting pinned. I can't see it.
Yeah, no, I feel like Sammy's going to have to get pinned somehow.
He's going to have to, but I think the way it's going to be is I think Sammy's going to come to a senses and go, well, just F this.
Or if Sammy leaves, what if MJF gets desperate and uses a weapon and then gets disqualified? There you go. Babyfaces win. MJF doesn't get pinned. He gets mad at Sammy for abandoning him. That will check all the boxes right there.
It just sucks having two matches go to DQ in a row in this feud. That skateboard stunt was, I don't know what you thought about it, but I thought it was horrible. I thought it sucked.
It was not the cleanest. It wasn't the best.
I hated it so much. I'm like, this is the way you're going to end this match. This is not AEW. AEW ends in pinfalls and decisions, not this. It was very WWE-ish.
So I wanted to get your opinion. Do you think that they decided to go this route? Do you think this was pre-planned, or was this an adjustment made on the fly to get away from the promos for a few weeks and have some matches to get us back full circle to the fatal four-way style match? Because do you think they were just looking at these promos like, yeah, these just aren't working. We got to do something else because we got a long ways to go until the pay-per-view. Or do you think this was like the plan from the beginning? We're going to cut some promos. We're going to do a little cycle of matches, cut a few more promos, and then it's pay-per-view time.
I think that this was kind of planned, but not all the way planned, as in they knew they couldn't do promos every week. They knew that they had to get them in the ring somehow, and they didn't want to do it the traditional, like, can they coexist? Jungle Boy, like, that's what it would have been. Can they coexist? Or, you know, we're going to put Jungle Boy and the other babyface together, Darby Allin versus this guy. Now there's a reason why it's there, which makes sense. Yeah. It's no, like... Bianca and Asuka. Can they coexist? No, there's a reason why they need to coexist. Give me a reason why they have to, and then that makes sense. So I'm okay with this. Yeah,
built up at least a little bit of a story of the coexisting thing. So I'm sure we're going to hear a little bit of that or some variation.
But now
this next match.
But there's a reason for it now. Now Jungle Boy and Darby have to work together to get into the main event. So like I said, there's no reason. This is like Asuka and Bianca are together. Why? I don't know.
Just throw them together.
Yeah, but who are they fighting and why? Some heels. But why? Does Asuka lose anything if she loses? No. Oh, okay. Like, those make no sense. But yeah. This is perfect sense. I just don't like the way they got there. The tournament thing seemed weird. Hey, I'm just going to pull someone's name out of a hat. Well, we all knew it was going to be Darby no matter what. Because he's the guy that... He is... Out of the four pillars, besides MJF, he's probably the strongest. I hate to admit it.
You think so?
I do. I think he's the strongest in the ring. I think he's the strongest on the mic out of all those. Unfortunately, because Darby just seems real, whereas Jungle Boy has no charisma, no oomph. It's just when he talks, like he's an entrance and that's it. That's what Jungle Boy is. He's an entrance and a name. I don't see anything out of him lately. Nothing.
Yeah, I thought he showed a couple flashes where he was doing pretty good on the mic. I know it's not maybe his strong point. His strong point is more in the ring. But I thought he had a couple of times, especially with the Christian Cage feud, where he had some good promos in there.
Let me ask you this, off topic, not on our list. When you watch Dynamite, and you know the weekly thing, we get the feuds, we get the weekly run-ins, we get the weekly stories. What's your favorite part? Like, what's your favorite story going into this pay-per-view?
It's definitely the Elite and the Combat Club.
I would say so, too. And second would probably be the Pillars. Third, would it be Wardlow and Lucha Dino Man? Because, again, I don't care about Cole and Jericho. I'm just going to put it out there. I don't care.
Yeah.
So do we care about this?
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. I see your notes here, and it was my exact same thought, too, for your notes, is I don't know how this thing is going to end. And it feels just kind of like the Wardlow-Hobbs feud that was just going, like, how does one of these people lose? That's not going to end well for whoever, now Hobbs. What do they do with him? And so what are you going to do with this between Luchasaurus and Wardlow? Is Wardlow going to immediately lose the title? And we're going to keep Hotshot in the belt? Or does Luchasaurus and his new revamped gimmick where he's supposed to look like a monster heel, does he just lose his first match and then all his credibility goes out the window? Or does Hobbs get involved somehow, and then it ends in some, finish with him getting involved, and that's how they save themselves? But we always said we like AEW because they don't do that too much. So I don't know that we really want to see that either. Like, I don't know how they come out of this with everyone looking good, and I just feel like someone's going to look bad coming out of this.
All right, hear me out. Hear me out. All right, so we have a situation where we have two pay-per-views coming up in 2 weeks' time. I think the Wembley show and then the Chicago show, all in and all out, right? Like pretty much back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, I think so, back-to-back. All
right, hear me out. We have Hobbs and we have Luchasaurus wrestle at the Wembley show for the number one contender match against Wardlow, who has to then fight him at All Out. That will make it at least more credible. And whenever Wardlow, let's just say, for example, Luchasaurus beats Hobbs. Okay, cool. And then Wardlow could beat Luchasaurus by Hobbs being upset. Like, that could happen. Not saying it should, not saying it will, but they have to find out a way to get Hobbs in this story. I'm not saying how. I don't know how. I have no idea how. It's just you cannot have Wardlow or Luchasaurus taking a pin right now clean when both, one just got his title back. One is just up and down. Wardlow is, he's hot, he's cold, hot, cold. Luchasaurus, he can't find his groove. He cannot. Ever since his breakup, I feel like he's just been treading water.
Yep.
He came back as a monster heel, got beat right away by Jungle Boy. Right away. Boom, lost all of his heat. Went away, came back looking phenomenal. They messed up. He should not. a monster heel like Luchasaurus should not be wasting his time, but not he should not be going out there against Wardlow. There's a better title. There's a better opponent and someone more believable, somebody that needs to drop his title. Could you imagine the babyface love Orange Cassidy would get against Luchasaurus? And how much heat Luchasaurus would get when he beats Orange Cassidy for that international title? What are we doing?
Yeah, that would be so much better. I instantly already like that idea better than sticking Luchasaurus against Wardlow. This would be good if Wardlow had already had a decent title run to this point, and it was time to change hands or something where you have two monsters battling it out. But like, the fact that he just got his title, that's a problem. So yeah, that would be much better to have him go up against Orange Cassidy.
It'd be the smart thing to do. I don't know. Tony's obsessed with monster heels coming back against the most popular babyface in the company. He does it all the time.
Yeah.
And it never ends well. It never. Are we happy with what happened to Hobbs? Is anyone happy?
No.
No one's happy. Hobbs is buried more than he was before he got his title.
Yep.
And the same thing's going to happen to Wardlow if you have him lose. Maybe you have Christian face him first, and then he beats Christian, and then, you know, Luchasaurus can get that title shot and then take it away from him. So at least you give a couple matches to Wardlow for him to win, and then Luchasaurus take it away. I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know. It just doesn't add up. Nothing adds up on the show lately. It's bad.
It's going to be bad. Whoever loses, it's going to be bad for them.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the match. I'm looking forward to Wardlow. I'm looking forward to Luchasaurus, just not the outcome. And that's with a lot of matches. That's honestly with a lot of matches on this card coming up for the next pay-per-view. It's either very predictable or a match we don't want to see. I mean, this card, Cole's going to win, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He should. He's a returner.
MJF's going to win.
Oh, no doubt.
Okay.
There's no way anyone takes that off him this quick.
FTR is going to win.
Yes.
Okay. I believe the baby faces. Yeah, we already talked about Cole and DMD. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't know any other matches that are announced yet or, like, leaning towards.
Well, the Elite and the BCC.
That one, I don't know. I don't know.
That's the only, and that might be part of what adds to it being so great, is it's not predictable. Granted, it's also the people that are in the match and the story is good, but that's another thing that adds to it. And I know a lot of times we talk about sometimes it can be good when the story is predictable. Like, we all knew when Hangman Adam Page was winning his title, but it was good predictable. It was finishing a story. But these are kind of like the other side of it now. These are the bad predictable. Like, I'm not very invested because the story is okay at best, and I already know what the end of it is.
I just can't.
So unless they throw some sort of a swerve ending on some of these, I just don't see it as being that great. Yeah. I'm surprised too that they couldn't somehow figure out a way to. You're talking. I just want to speak real quick on. You're talking about doing a number one contenders match at All In. But I feel like for that show, like, that should have all the biggest matches, all your title matches. It would just be weird to see them do a contenders match on that show for the next pay-per-view. Like, if they could have booked them somehow with their dates the other way around and said, hey, at All Out, we're going to do a contenders match, then at All In at Wembley, then we're going to have the championship match. I would like that a little bit better. You know what I mean? Because I feel like All In is building up to be by far their biggest show ever, which, side note, one other thing I wanted to add on to that. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but I've heard the rumors start that maybe they're working on a streaming deal with HBO on that. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Oh, I hope that's true because I have HBO. So I'm really hoping that they work something out and that HBO can handle things better than Bleacher Report has.
I really hope so too, because I really want you to watch the pay-per-views that are coming up, and I'm going to order them. I know you're not, and it's going to suck.
I can't. I can't order them. I've tried. It doesn't work anymore. It's gotten progressively worse every show. It used to be the first couple of minutes it wouldn't work. Then it was like the first 15 minutes. And last time it was an hour and a half and still nothing. So it's going in the wrong direction. If I missed the first 5 minutes, I'd say whatever, and I'd still get it. But I mean, I can't miss an hour and a half of the show and still pay for it, you know?
It's when Cody left, everything went downhill.
Everything went down. Bleacher Report went downhill when Cody left.
Damn. Hey, did you watch that Botchamania video I sent you?
Only a little bit of it.
Did you not like it?
No, I do. Those videos are great. I just, I think you caught me at a time whenever I was doing something, so I got to watch a little bit of it, and then I got distracted, and then until you mentioned it now, I forgot to go back and watch the rest, so I need to do that.
I've never seen a full episode. I've just seen clips. The full episodes are great. I just got I binged like 100 of them. They're just great. The way they're put together, the way they're made, it's a lot of stuff, like Taz and Tony Schiavone. This is my favorite segment of Botchamania. Just listening to Taz trash Tony Schiavone for like 5 minutes.
Okay. No, I will. I need to go back and watch it. I forgot to go back and see the rest of it.
Yeah. Especially this last week's episode. It was freaking great. The one I sent you was freaking great, but, it is an afternoon show. We do have to get back to work, so we're going to cut it a little short. So thank you for listening. We are going to, I can't promise that we'll be back in our regular time slot, 'cause I don't know if the Lightning are going to win or not. And I don't know their schedule, but I will say this: Saturday night Lightning will win in, the very next night on Monday night, not the very next, but the very next, we will win in seven. I said it on Edge and Christian. I trolled them. I told them Bolton seven. That's when the Lightning were up like 4-1, by the way.
Yeah.
And John Cena followed me the next day. So be like John Cena. Follow me on Twitter at Josh Kimmel OUS. Yes, John Cena did follow me. And he did not follow Chris because he's a baby face at RTW Chris on Twitter as well. We'll be back and talking more AEW. Until then, Chris, got any last words?
Just looking for some better story builds towards these pay-per-views. They're too big not to have great stories.
And where is House of Black?
Hopefully we find them soon.
Goodbye.
See you.